Hello and welcome to Drukama Radio. My name is Vani and I'll be your co-host today in this latest episode of our podcast. The topic today is spirits and other dimensional beings. Joining us to explore this and share some ideas, we have Daishi. Welcome, Daishi. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. Let's jump into this exciting topic.
So this is a really intriguing topic to me. And I guess for me, I've had experiences in my life where I don't have a lot of questions about whether or not other realms that we cannot see exist. But I realize that amongst our listeners, there may be widely varying opinions or direct experiences with the existence of beings we can't see, other dimensional beings, spirits, ghosts. So to get that question handled right off the bat, do spirits exist?
That's a great question. It depends on, like you said earlier, whether you've experienced that kind of energy or not. And so most of the community or the humanity around us has not experienced anything like that. It's highly dependent on the level of practice for each person and level of experience for each person. For a small portion of the spiritual community who have tuned in to something beyond sensory perception, they have an experience with something beyond, a sentient being that happens to be in a space that isn't necessarily recognizable through sensory perception. For the rest of humanity, there really isn't that much interaction or connection to what's beyond sensory perception. So they do not accept the fact that there may be something intelligent out there. And that's okay. Both of those places are okay. And so it depends on where you're coming from. If you're in the small sliver of spiritual practitioners that have experienced it, then you're going to say, absolutely, yes, I've seen it for myself. But if you're not, unfortunately, in the bigger pile of humanity that hasn't really journeyed within too deeply, then you're going to say, no, I've never experienced something like that. And therefore, to me, it doesn't exist. So it really depends on where you're coming from.
So if a person is really interested in interacting or having a direct experience of something beyond this reality, this normal waking reality, or, you know, just kind of common experience, how could a person have experiences like that so that they can know for themselves whether spirits exist?
Well, the human body, fortunately for us, is equipped with a number of instruments that allow us to tap into a sensory perception beyond the five tactile senses. We just have to understand how that operates. And it has to do with single-pointed focus, the ability to withdraw our senses inward and kind of turn them toward the inside. And in that regard, they go sort of dormant for a while, so we can focus specifically on that single-pointed will instrument. Once that's achieved a certain degree of amplification and enhancement, then it's a matter of unifying with the opening of that doorway that it brings us. And once that aptitude happens, you can move through that, for lack of a better word, doorway, and then experience something that we would say, you know, transcends the sensory perceptions and is like a sixth sense. And that sixth sense allows us to register interaction beyond the physical. And so the same way, you know, we could say that certain kinds of telescopes and microscopes and all kinds of scientific instruments allow us to read things that go beyond the tactile senses, this higher perception, this intuitive tool that we use, can go beyond those physical sensory perceptions as well and begin to introduce us to subtle things, that subtle energies and subtle sentient kind of intelligent energies. And so it's a matter of moving through the process and not only clearing away the stuff that stops us from experiencing that, the sheath of the body and so on, the insulation that stops us from that experience, but also tuning those atrophied instruments that we aren't used to using, like, you know, single-pointed focus and union and connection and meditativeness and so on, and sense withdrawals and so forth, and to use them in a very specific kind of way. So that's all part and parcel of the path. And it's not something that's necessarily conducive to, you know, realization or stream entry. It doesn't have to be there for those things to occur. And it isn't as important. But for a person that's wants to explore and understand the structure of creation, after those achievements are made, this opening should be revealed to them so that they can then see that there isn't some set of intelligent kind of energy roaming around us, and that it does influence the way we think, feel, and act more than humans actually believe, because, you know, they don't perceive it at this point. So once they start perceiving it, they'll understand that there's a massive influence on the way that humanity operates under it.
So are there spirits that are actively trying to communicate with us?
I would say yes, of course. In the same way that, you know, when we see a strange creature in the forest, even if it's a doe, if we see a small deer or something, the first thing we do is stop the car, jump out and start taking pictures. The reason why is because it's very difficult for us to get within 100 feet of a small deer, right? So that becomes really intense. And we look at that and say, this is a fantastic experience. I want to capture this. And we get excited about it. We want to feed it and we want to hug it and we want to love it and we want to play with it. You know, we do those things because we're interested and we have actually the, in most cases, and not all cases, but in most cases, we actually care and consider the animal and we'd like to protect it and make sure that it's happy and it's in an environment that's conducive for its well-being. And so most of the entities or spirits that are out there see us the same way. We are cut off from them, so we can interact with them. And so they want to have a relationship with us with the same kind of intention. They're interested. They want to know how we're experiencing and what we're doing and feeling and how we're understanding the phenomenon around us. And they would love to interact with us, but it's sort of on a little bit of a higher level. It's sort of a higher kind of dimension that they reside in. And because of that, we're just not aware of this potential influence. Now, that said, you know, there are, just like in the human beings around us, there are those that don't necessarily care about our general comfort. They're more interested in the what, how, and when we're doing or experiencing. So they might not have the same intention. But that aside, for the most part, these interdimensional energies, these sentient beings that transcend the physicality that we experience, are there very highly interested in interacting and getting to understand our perceptions and the way that we experience the phenomenon we're experiencing.
Does a person need to worry about like spirit possession or, you know, negative spirits?
Again, assuming that you have some experience with this, you'll understand, I think, what I'm saying. But if you don't really have this experience yet in your path or haven't reached this level of interaction, then this is going to be a little bit of a faith and belief kind of philosophical discussion, but that's okay. We can explore it because it's interesting. But I would say that if you take a common person today and you look at them, you'll see that they are quite literally many different people at various times. So in the morning, if I interact with somebody who has yet to reach that full stream potential, they're going to say and do things that might be contradictory to things that they do later in the day. So in the morning, they may say, I love you, I'm happy, I'm joyful, I want to go running. Later in the day, I'm miserable, I hate you, I want to lay down, I don't want to be active. So you look at those two different conditions and say, which one are you here? Which person are you? Because you're changing who you are. You know, I like this music, and then later on in life, I like this music, and now I like these people and these groups, and now I don't like these groups. I like these political affiliations. Now I've totally changed there. We're in constant flux and change with somebody that's underneath that stream condition who hasn't really realized their essential nature. And because of that, you can say that they're being influenced every millisecond by all kinds of external forces. And so if we call those external forces sentient beings, or if we call them chaotic, random electrical impulses, it doesn't really matter. The person is changing constantly. So I like to look at those influences as intelligences. They're energies that have their own kind of intentions. And if you want to just take a physical look at this and see the proof, you can see that each cell in your body has its own agenda. You're not directing the cells. The cells are going about their daily routine because of the way that their intelligent design is done. So you can't say, well, I'm pumping my blood and creating white blood cells and I'm doing, you know, and T cells and all these things are happening within me because of me. You're saying, I have no control over this. It's just going on within the vessel. I don't know how. I don't know why. I have nothing to say about it. I have nothing to do with it. So what are those cells? Are those cells sentient beings? Are they just little robotic pieces of organic material? So it just depends on how you look at it. So if you look at a cell as an intelligent being doing some job that also has to be in conjunction with your life, then you could say, why shouldn't there be subtle representations of that that are also influencing the way I think, feel, and act beyond that? And quite literally, you can see it in each person that when they change from moment to moment and become, they have different likes and dislikes and different opinions and so on. Because of that, you can say you're being influenced beyond what you control at this moment. You're being influenced into ideas and concepts and opinions and judgments and analysis and notions that are fluctuating so much. where is the person in all of that? Where is that actual person in all of that fluctuation? And you would look back and say, there is no real static person there. It's just a continual evolution of some type of perpetual change. And because of that, we look at the responsibility. Who's responsible for that change then if it's not the person? And you could say that it's spirit, interdimensional beings, it's radical different kinds of intelligences with different opinions. Or you can say the basic atheistic view, it's just chaotic energy signals being driven into you randomly and has no agenda at all. It's just sort of the universal chaos. And so any way you look at it, there's influencing happening. It's just, what do you call that influence, really?
So this is kind of a different question here. I'm wondering, do other dimensional beings have their own evolutionary path?
And again, this is going to be a answer that depends on where you come from in that last kind of rant I did. So if you believe that the universe is chaotic, there's no intelligence in it, and it's just, you know, zapping you with electromagnetic forces that influence the way you move and think and feel and whatnot, that's fine. Then on that side, there is no agenda, there's no intelligence, it's just chaos. And so at that point, you might as well take a gun to your head, nothing matters, and it's over. If you're on the other side of the fence, then you're saying that, you know, there is intelligent design here. There are things that think, feel, and act. They have their own intentions, and they may be influencing this vessel. And so the question becomes, why? Why are they influencing the vessel? Well, probably because you're not running the vessel yourself. You're not in control of the vessel mentally, energetically, emotionally, or physically. So in that regard, you're sort of letting the driver's seat be open and saying, you know, hey, take me wherever we're going. I'm just going to watch. And that's typically what happens in an unconscious person's experience. You know, I feel terrible today. Don't know why, but I do. And so therefore, I'm going to go into these different kinds of interactions simply because of the way I feel or the way that I'm thinking. But I don't know why I'm feeling or thinking those things. I don't know what the root of that is, where that's coming from, what intention is driven by that. And we can call that the spirit or the intelligences then taking over your vessel and driving your vehicle. At some point on the path, hopefully, you'll come to know how that's working and running and start to take control of those operations. And then they're not so haphazard and they're not being run and conducted by something else or someone else or another intelligent being or system behind you. And that's the freedom of the path, is to gain control of that process. And not just physically, not just through, you know, what I say, but how I feel, how the energies in my body operate, how my mind is functioning, and so on and so forth, so that I can begin to do things without these influences. But I really believe that it cannot be argued that we're not being influenced constantly by something outside of what we call ourselves. If someone looks deep enough, they'll always come to that conclusion. And so that has to point us to the idea that there are sentient beings. They do have some agenda or some kind of intention, and they are interacting and influencing us, whether we can see that actual root cause or not. We can see the effect, and the effect points back to the fact that they must have some control. So that brings us to your question of, do they have a life? Are they looking to evolve? What's going on with these kinds of different beings? And I would say that there is such a huge, massive amount of different kinds of these sentient beings that it would be impossible to generalize one over the other. And it's the same way that we look at the Earth. There are some insects that seem to just live to procreate, and they're part of the ecosystem, but in and of themselves, they have no real individual concepts of intention or drive, or, you know, there's no agenda there. They just follow the hive. And then as you get further along from the rock mineral matter to the vegetable matter into the animal matter and the animal life, you see that there are some beings like apes and chimpanzees that can individualize their experience. That as through that evolution, they start to become singular, and they might have a tribe or group or community around them, but they can still act with their own kind of agenda. So it starts to break away. And then when you get to human beings, you see a massive breakaway from the group. In most cases, there's still the animal group hive mentality and those that haven't matured to that space. But a soul that's matured through the human experience enough has come to a place where they've now singled themselves out with their own kind of agenda, own kind of distinct set of intentions. And then beyond, we could say that beyond that may be the sentient beings that live in the hidden dimensions, and they must have their own agendas, own life, and so on and so forth. If you were to draw that conclusion from what we've seen from the Earth cycle. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does. So In our school, we focus on meditation, energy practices, and dream work. I'm wondering, how is it that spirits and other dimensional beings are relevant to our practices?
Well, I think that an adept, at some point when they're breaching the stream condition, has to begin to understand the process of interaction, not just here physically, although physically, the physical interaction, I should say, is the most important because that's where we spend most of our waking time, but begin to understand the hidden dimensions of reality so that we can fully realize where that root cause comes from. We need to find the root cause. That's essentially what the goal of the spiritual path is to come to the place where the fountainhead is starting. Because I need to know how I'm being influenced and why. And I'm not going to find any answers outward into the world. It's not going to help me. We've been trying to do that for thousands of years. We just haven't gotten anywhere. We're still at the place where we don't understand most of, if not all of, the universe around us. So we have to begin to go within. When we go within and we reach a certain kind of clarity, we have to get rid of the things that are skewing the way we perceive. And once that's done, which is a major portion of the path, once the problems are out and the skewing is done, then we can see clearly. At that point, we know that we can then begin to investigate with the right kind of view, the right kind of mindset, to understand and interact correctly with the hidden realities. And that's really important first. But at that point, I believe that for every practitioner, they need to begin to utilize some ancillary kinds of practices that open that up for them, and they begin to receive and understand and connect and communicate with the outer worldly kinds of influences so that they can realize, okay, you know, every area of influence I'm clear about, I'm either okay with or I've rectified. And now I understand the structure much better. And because of that, I can live the life I want to live. And we can find our true purpose and we can be free and we can be authentic and we can be a better human being. And so all of that learning has to be as deep as possible. And that involves finding the hidden root cause of reality so we can not be influenced by it unconsciously anymore, at the very least.
So the school at drewkama.com is now open for limited registration. Daishi, is there any latest news about the website?
Just that we're finally getting the curriculum up to where we want it to be. We're really excited about that. And that we're opening up a number of interesting kinds of bonus areas for people through tips and tricks and ideas and supplemental content that'll be really helpful. So we're trying to give people a really clear view of what the path should be, because I think that's where the biggest confusion is in the world is, you know, what is meditation? You know, meditation is a tool that helps us improve the waking state, really. And it helps us understand who we are and how we get influenced. And we're talking today about spirits. And, you know, for the most part of history, spirits were really a very big part of human experience. And when the Industrial Revolution came, you see that that kind of died out and everybody was really investing in intellectualism. So it was really important that we were productive members of the intellectual cog that is, you know, really a capitalistic kind of process. And there's nothing wrong with that. It gave us a lot of freedoms in the world here, but it really cut off our connection to nature and spirit. And we need to get back there again. And I think the world's getting back there. So the idea with this site is to allow people to get into a no-nonsense practice that leads to the revelation of self. And when I say self, I mean the actual essential nature, not necessarily the person John Smith, you know, who is an attorney and grew up here, went to school here and has these friends. I'm talking about the actual, something much deeper, the actual person that exists before the mother and father were born, right? That essential nature that goes way back, that infinite nature that goes way back beyond the birth. So in that, we have to answer a lot of questions about why this, why that? Why are you sitting? What are you sitting for? How do you sit? And what's the purpose of each kind of method behind sitting? And that's really what we're tackling. It's not easy, but it needs to be there. It's not something that I ever thought that I would be doing, to be honest with you, but there's so much demand for it, so many questions about it, and there's so much misinformation that we have to be clear, and it will help humanity, when we're clear about it, get to a place where they can see that all these instruments are within them. And if they just understood them a little better, they could realize the root causes and then go and take back the influence that's being put on each human being every millisecond within every day and become more authentic and free.
Well, we are reaching the end of our time here. And I honestly, I could talk to you about this topic for hours, but I'm going to to wrap things up. I want to say thank you so much for joining, and I look forward to doing another podcast with you soon.
I do too. Thank you so much for having me. And I know that, again, just to reiterate, this topic is really difficult because it's something that, you know, most people have to experience for themselves. But I wanted to stay as sterile as possible for this conversation. So if anybody has any further questions about this topic, I'd be happy to talk about it in the forums that we have at our website in more detail for sure.
Thank you. If you have any questions or comments about this show, please email us at radio@drukama.com. That's drukama.com. You can also find us in all the usual places on social media. Just search for Drukama Teachings. The transcript for this show is also available on drukama.com. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you next time.